Howie Carr, Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
By the way, do we have Howie Carr?
He's around here someplace. Where's Howie? Where is Howie?
You know Howie Carr?
Howie, where the hell are you? The legendary Howie. He's got that radio going.
We love Howie Carr, right?
Yeah, who do you know?
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Hey, paperboy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
He's a good guy, isn't he, though?
It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie today. He will be back next week. Until then, we are covering all of the news, including the great news out of Israel and Egypt and everywhere around the world today that the hostages have been released, that Donald Trump's peace through strength is continuing to work. It is a big day for the Middle East. It's a big day for America. It's a big day for Donald Trump. And it's a bad day for the haters. And I think we're going to see a lot of people that are going to have to find nice things to say about Donald Trump today. And you know, the haters are always coming after Trump for some aspect of this or the other. Like Jared Kushner, for example, Trump's son-in-law, Ivanka's husband, he was there helping negotiate because he did the Abraham Accords. He knows a lot of the parties. And they say, oh, well, he's now investment manager for many of these people that have given him money and invested with him. And this is how they ask the question. And Caroline Levitt, who does a masterful job of what she does, slapping them down. Let's take Caroline Levitt last week, cut 21.
How did the White House decide that it is appropriate for Jared Kushner to be working on matters that involve Qatar, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, three countries that combined have given him more than $2.5 billion for his investment firm?
I think it's, frankly, despicable that you're trying to suggest that it's inappropriate for Jared Kushner, who is widely respected around the world and has great trust in relationships with these critical partners in these countries, to strike a 20-point comprehensive detailed peace plan that no other administration would ever be able to achieve. And so Jared is donating his energy and his time to our government, to the President of the United States, to secure world peace. And that is a very noble thing. And this is a peace plan that has not just been accepted by Israel, but it has been applauded by Muslim and Arab countries around the world. It has been applauded by European leaders around the world. Virtually everyone in the world is supportive of this plan that Jared Kushner offered his time to help put together alongside our special envoy Witkoff, the vice president, the president of the United States, Secretary Rubio, and the president's entire national security team. We are very proud of that plan, and we hope Hamas will accept it because it will lead to a more peaceful and prosperous Middle East.
I'm just going to give you a pro tip here. If you're someone, whether you're a reporter or politician, and you can't, your first reaction isn't, hey, this is fantastic. How do we celebrate? How did they do it? And instead, what you're doing is your first impulse is to criticize the people that were involved in making it happen. If that's what your impulse is to do, then maybe you're in the wrong line of work. Get out of politics. Get out of the media. What you should be doing is to say, this is really wonderful. It's fantastic. And the fact that Donald Trump's been able to do it in a way that other politicians haven't is a breath of fresh air. So many presidents have been frustrated by all of the work they've done in the Middle East. I remember when I was a kid watching Bill Clinton trying to negotiate peace, sending George Mitchell as the envoy. Notice George W. Bush tried to bring peace to the Middle East. And they try time and time and time again, and it's eluded them. And in this particular case, Donald Trump has done something that eludes most people. And if you looked at the gathering today in Egypt, you could see how diverse the group of countries in that region were that wanted to be a part of it because of Donald Trump's leadership. 844-500-4242. On the phone lines, we have Connor. Connor, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead, Connor.
Howdy, y'all. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to say that I don't think that
All right, sounds like we lost the call. We'll continue to take more calls, 844-500-4242. And I think, you know, Donald Trump is right to point out that it's really taken a long way to get here, but this is really the beginning. This is the beginning, and this is what we're going to do. But notice, like, the haters, the people I'm saying that they should get a new career or a new job, these are the people in politics. And Trump, he can't help himself. On the Air Force One, this is one of my favorite clips of Trump that emerged as a reporter had been pestering him, asking question after question. And unlike, you know, Joe Biden, who had those note cards and he could only call on people he was allowed to, Trump will call on everyone. But this is how he handles a reporter that he finds tiresome. Cut number 15.
On China, are you considering walking that back?
Who are you with?
Politico, Dasha Burns, sir.
Dasha Politico. Politico's gone bad. They've been so wrong about everything. Politico. Politico has been so wrong about everything. Let's get somebody else to ask some questions. Do you mind? Is that all right? Because Politico is fake news.
Why is she asking so much questions? And he's like, oh, Dasha Burns, Politico's gone bad. And he's right. Politico used to be, when it came out, when Mike Allen was in charge, you had people like Mark Halperin and others that wrote for Politico. They had information. It was on the inside. And then it became an anti-Trump, slam Republican, distort the narrative. It became a just another partisan outlet to accomplish Democrats' objectives by any means necessary. That's what it became. And so Donald Trump is right to say, oh, Politico, yeah, Politico's gone bad. Politico's gone rotten. So, yeah, no, I'm not going to give you more questions. I've answered a bunch of questions for you, and now I'm going to move on to someone else. And these are the people that it's more important for them to make Trump look bad than it is to actually report on what's actually happening. What's actually happening. And so they run with any story, such as that, you know, Anthony Blinken says that this peace deal was crafted by Biden. Well, yeah, after Trump got elected, Biden got a peace deal because they were afraid of what was going to happen when Trump was in control, and they wanted to do it to see that they could get everything they can when Biden was still there. And Steve Witkoff was involved. But this is Trump's response when asked about the role that Biden and Blinken played. Cut 13.
And they were in places that you don't want to know about. Deep.
Some of the top Biden administration folks who were there, like Anthony Blinken, seemed to want some credit for the peace deal. Blinken says it's good that President Trump adopted and built on the plan that the Biden administration developed. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Everybody knows that's a joke. Look, they did such a bad job. This should have never happened. This wouldn't have even happened. That was weak leadership. Terrible. And the same thing with Russia-Ukraine. Yeah, if a decent president, not a great president like me, not a great president. If a decent president was in, you wouldn't have had the Russia-Ukraine. And this is, I would say, even more so. This was bad policy by Biden and by Obama. Remember when Bibi came and he begged that you not do what they were doing with Iran? You remember that, right? Begged them. And they wouldn't even listen to him. Everything they did was the opposite of what you should have done. And it's nice that they try and take a little credit. That was years ago, and the mistakes were made years ago. And it was both by Biden and Obama.
And Donald Trump sees how all these things are connected, right? So he's saying that Obama laid the groundwork when he did the deal with Iran, when he gave Iran power in the region, when he let them work on their nuclear deal and continue to develop and continue to be a power. And Trump is setting himself up for what comes next. So when Biden negotiated the ceasefire, it lasted, but it was very quickly unraveled. And Israel began attacking and pursuing Hamas once again because there was no disarming Hamas. And that's going to be the hardest part of the plan. But as Trump talks about Iran, he's not just saying Iran is a pariah and they're going to be gone forever. He's even extending the olive branch to Iran today on a day where everyone else in the region seems to be at the table except for Iran. Notice Iran's not. But listen to what Trump had to say as he goes to the peace summit in Egypt. Cut number 16.
In Israel just now, you were talking about a possible Iran peace deal. You said, we are ready when you are. Yeah. Is that the ultimate goal with today's signing to get enough?
Not Iran, but I think Iran will come along. They've been battered and bruised, and you know they need some help. They have big sanctions, as you know, tremendous sanctions. I'd love to take the sanctions off when they're ready to talk, but they can't really survive with those sanctions. Those sanctions are very tough. But at some point, they're going to say, "We want the sanctions off." We're going to end up with peace. I think Iran is going to be fine.
And that's what Trump said when he was in front of the Knesset in Israel, he said that Iran, you know, maybe they'll come because they're getting it from every side, and maybe they'll come. They'll need a deal. He goes, yeah, but Witkoff, like, we'll get you over there, but first, could you just solve Ukraine and Russia? We'll send you to Iran after. But notice he's sequencing, and he thinks in multi stages. He's not just doing one thing at a time and seeing how it works. He's thinking about what the end game is in the long game, and I think that's really, really important. Also important is that President Trump, he used everyone. He used the Qataris, he used the Egyptians, and Turkey was important. The way that all this came together, and he even gives them credit. So he's sitting there in Egypt and talks about the important role that they played in the deal as he's in their country for this peace summit, cut number 17.
Sir, what will Egypt's role play in the peace process here?
He played a very important role, and they had a very important role with Hamas. In fact, the general was right here. Was very instrumental because Hamas respects this country and they respect the leadership of Egypt. So we had a, he played a very important role. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
In dealing with Hamas, a terrorist organization, they didn't have a relationship with the United States. And we don't. We don't talk to terrorists, generally speaking. But they did have relationships with Egypt and with Turkey, and those people were those nations were able to conduct the negotiation, the Qataris. So they had the conversations with Hamas, and that actually is what brought the deal together. Is that on Wednesday night, when Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner were in Egypt, they were asked to meet with Hamas because Hamas wanted guarantees that if they released the hostages, that the Israelis wouldn't begin firing on them again. And they wanted someone that could give it. And of course, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, given their proximity to Donald Trump, given the fact that they'd been given authorization by him to do it, they were able to say, yes, we can give you that guarantee, release the hostages, and we won't resume the bombings. And I think that's going to be very, very important to the future. And Donald Trump, he set this up. He set this up to say that this is the beginning and now we're on to the next phase of the peace plan. And this last point I'll make right here before we take a break is that he has a vision for what comes next and how you move on to phase two. That in the Biden era, you got to phase one. Phase two never happened. But in the 21-step plan, there's going to be a phase two that's on the next part. And that's where he's already turning his energy and attention. Cut number 18.
Can you tell us when phase two of the negotiations will begin?
Well, it started. I mean, it started as far as we're concerned. Phase two has started. And, you know, the phases are all a little bit mixed in with each other. You're going to start cleaning up. You look at Gaza, and it needs a lot of cleanup. That's why when I talked in my speech, I talked about the debris. I used the word debris. That's debris times 10. So, but they're going to really do a job. They have a lot of power. In another room, you have some of the wealthiest nations in the world. All leaders, the big leaders are here, the emirs and the kings and everybody, and it's a very interesting group. I guess we have like 35 countries, and that's only because they were the 35 that we invited. Everybody that we invited came. So there's a lot of respect, and I think you'll see some tremendous progress.
I mean, that's the big thing is he's focused on what comes next, how difficult it's going to be. And he wants to start making progress. And Trump's action oriented. And I think we're going to see action. So I'm excited to see what comes. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's been hard for a long, long time. But I think bringing everyone together, having the right incentives in place and having action is going to matter. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? It's super special during the off season too, especially if you're staying oceanside at the Nassau Beach Inn. Book your Nassau Beach Inn getaway today. Weekday rates from November through April start at just $199.99. Overlooking Nassau Beach, the Nassau Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the greater outer beach and the ever-changing sea. Nassau Beach Inn is pet-friendly, too, and each room is spacious with two queen-size beds. Off-season weekday rates from November through April start at just $199.99. That's an incredible value. With only 13 rooms, reservations fill up quickly, so book early at Nassau Beach Inn. Don't NassauBeachInn.com. NassauBeachInn.com, a short drive to vacation far away. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Follow Howie on TikTok.
We're looking at TikTok.
At Howie Carr Radio Network.
The name is hot. The brand is hot.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Jake Rooney's in Harwichport. I love their tender steak tips, and the mailroom manager always gets their lobster roll packed with freshness. Come hungry and leave happy at Jake Rooney's.
Howie Carr is back.
We are back on the Howie Carr Show. 844-500-4242 is the number. Today's poll question is brought to you by Preborn Pregnancy Network. The miracle of life is a gift that every baby deserves because every life is precious. That's why we partnered with Preborn Pregnancy Network to help rescue babies through donations from listeners like you. Any amount will help. All gifts are tax deductible and 100% of your donation will go to saving babies. Please join us. To donate securely, go to preborn.com/Howie. That's preborn.com/Howie. Matt is now on the board. Matt, what is today's poll question and what are the results thus far?
And you can vote in the poll question by going to howiecarshow.com. What is the most surprising thing that happened in the last few days? Trump successfully negotiated a peace deal in the Middle East. Hamas actually released the hostages. Kamala Harris lied about speaking to Joe Biden on the phone. And Hillary Clinton actually gave Donald Trump credit for the peace agreement.
Well, I've answered this before. Matt, do you want to take a stab? What is your what surprised you the most over the last few days?
That Hillary Clinton actually gave Donald Trump credit for the peace agreement.
I know. She's such an ingracious person. I didn't think she had it in her. And I was surprised that she did it. She was on a conversation. Condoleezza Rice was there and they both were talking about how Trump really deserved credit. And she didn't have to say it, but she did. And I thought that was very surprising.
And so the audience has voted. 52% agree with me that Hillary Clinton actually giving Donald Trump credit for the peace agreement is the biggest surprise. 36% say Hamas actually releasing the hostages. 10% saying Trump successfully negotiating the peace deal in the Middle East. And 2% Kamala Harris lying about speaking to Joe Biden on the phone.
Did you hear this cut? I played it earlier. I'm going to play it again. And you don't have to play the whole thing, but just give me the beginning of it. So Kamala Harris, she gets asked this question about Biden. I want you to hear just the beginning of number cut 25.
I want to get to some news that just came out today with President Biden. His spokesperson said that he is going to now start doing radiation for his prostate cancer. Have you talked to him?
I called him earlier.
Mm-hmm. How's he doing?
I have not talked to him. I just left him a message after I heard the news.
You can cut it there. But like, she's like, this woman, has she no shame? He says, have you talked to him? He says, yes. I called him. Oh, yeah, I called him. Have you talked to him? Yeah, I called him. Oh, how's he doing? Oh, well, I didn't talk to him. The question was, did you talk to him? Yeah, yes, I called him. I didn't talk to him. The literal question was, did you talk to him? Did you talk to him? And she said, yes. I'm so glad that this woman isn't present. I mean, I guess it's not surprising that she lied and we included it just to be funny. But man, oh, man, I don't know. What does that give you confidence, Matt, that she could have done the same thing that Joe Biden did in this? That Donald Trump did in negotiating this complex peace in the Middle East?
God, no. I mean, think back to the election when she just had simple questions asked to her. And she couldn't come up with answers for those. So it's you can't answer questions, but you're going to be able to get a peace agreement done in the Middle East. I don't think so.
Not only that, but here's what it says to you. When Kamala Harris calls Joe Biden, he's not taking her phone call. When Donald Trump calls the leaders of Egypt or Turkey or Indonesia or wherever it is that he needs to call, they're taking his call. Not just because he's the president of the United States, but because they know that when they talk to him, that's their opportunity to get a deal, that they're dealing with the guy and that he actually can make decisions. He knows what he's doing. He's capable. He can actually talk to them. He's not going to give them a word salad. He's not going to give them a ramble. He's not going to have to check later. He's not going to have to circle back. He didn't just fall out of the coconut tree. But he's the person that's going to interact with them, that they've built a relationship of respect. They can transact business and then they can get things done. And he doesn't have to go through multiple layers of bureaucracy in order to get agreement on things like peace in the Middle East. he's able to pick up the phone, give him a call. And unlike Joe Biden hearing from Kamala Harris, they actually pick up. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
It's Howie Carr.
This is the Howie Carr Show. Welcome back. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, 844-500-4242. We're spending the majority of the show today covering the news out of the Middle East that Donald Trump has negotiated peace. Feel free to call in with your reactions, 844-500-4242. Next up is Monica. Monica, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead, Monica.
Hello, this is Monica. I am so happy that this got some kind of peace today.
I know. Isn't it good to be talking about peace for a change? I feel like under Biden, it was new war after new war. And now with Trump back in office, it's peace is breaking out all over the world.
I'm born the same birthday as Trump. And a lot of things are very outspoken. And I work in a high glossy place in Massachusetts and Boston. And the people are so arrogant. And I tell them every day, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. Something has to be done. And Trump is the one who has enough nerve to go out there and say, look, this has got to go. We have to do something here. He's the only one. The other ones just pass the, you know, they just talk, and nothing gets done.
Yeah, well, I think that this is, I think Donald Trump is a different kind of president. I think he's action-oriented, whether it's on tariffs or on peace in the Middle East. And he's not afraid, by the way, to use different pieces that are unrelated to get the outcome. You have to imagine that the tariffs, the relationship with China, the relationship with Russia, all of it is part of a bigger whole. And he's trying to use every different piece to put together what it is that he wants. And I think that that's what we're seeing play out right here. Don't you think, Monica?
Yeah, he goes in with quality. He goes in and he sits and negotiates and he listens and he doesn't get mad or intimidated. When people can intimidate you in this kind of, you know, environment and kids are going mad and the politics, there's no reason to put people in a hostage situation and lose lives. And that's where America forgets.
Yeah, great points. Thanks for the call, Monica. And speaking of, you know, not just, you know, talk and putting people in their place and not getting intimidated, it's in great contrast, the success that he's had abroad to what's going on at home right now with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. Here we are, and I have to say, you can tell who's winning and who's losing this shutdown battle, which, first of all, you know, the people that are losing. If the Republicans had shut down the government in the way the Democrats just did, we would be getting these stories, these bleeding heart stories every single day about the woman who couldn't feed her child, and we'd be getting the worker that wasn't getting their paycheck or the service member that was, you know, there were all these, like, you know, personal interest stories about the human impact of the shutdown. If they felt that it was being blamed on Republicans, you know, it's being blamed on Democrats for the Schumer shutdown because we're not hearing anything about it from the press. But the one thing the press is doing is they're confronting Democrats. And you can tell whenever Democrats come on to say that, oh, yeah, we're just going to negotiate about Obamacare subsidies, the press is actually calling them out. And that continued this weekend on the Sunday shows. Let's take Senator Chris Murphy, cut number 26.
But this is just the 7-week deal that we're talking about at this point, that the short-term
correct the long
funding.
Right, the long-term budget that we pass ultimately has to require that the president not engage in mass-scale corruption, but a short-term agreement, you know, certainly is not going to fix all of the problems that exist right now in the way the president is running the country.
But you have been critical in the past of the tactic of choosing to shut down the government. You were in 2018, you were back in 2013 when it was a discussion over health care. This is what you said in 2018.
The future of the American healthcare system was a legitimate public policy issue, as is the security of our borders. But we shouldn't be having the discussion amidst a government shutdown, trying to use our nation's security and all of these federal workers and the work that they do as hostages.
Aren't you doing today exactly what you were criticizing then?
No, that was a fight over sort of the long-term structure of the American healthcare system. This is an emergency.
Oh, interesting. The reason why it was bad before, when Republicans were doing the same thing and they were withholding votes and not allowing a vote the same way that the Democrats are going now, it was never acceptable to do, whether it's about healthcare, whether it's about future, about whatever it is that's going on. But now when Democrats care about it, it's an emergency. The only reason it's an emergency is because of the mismanagement of the federal government by the Democrats over the last 4 years of the Biden administration. And Donald Trump is here now. The Republicans have passed their budget. Democrats, the emergency that they have is that they're not in control and they're not in power. It doesn't mean you can take back what you said. And so just applying your same logic, you've got J.D. Vance out there holding your feet to the fire, making your same argument. Let's hear how you argue it. Cut number 27.
Why doesn't the president insist that lawmakers come back to Washington, sit with him and talk this through?
Well, as Chuck Schumer said, it's not all lawmakers. It's the Senate leadership that really is driving this shutdown. The House has already passed a bill to reopen the government. It's the Senate. And again, it's a far left sort of contingent of Senate Democrats.
But the president says he's a deal maker.
Keeping the government shut down.
Why doesn't he force a deal here? Why doesn't he tell Republicans, like the speaker, get your lawmakers back here, come into my office, let's hammer this thing out?
Margaret, it's a totally fair question, and the answer is because this isn't a deal-making, this isn't a negotiation, this is hostage-shaking. The Chuck Schumer has not said to us, this is what we need. He's said that unless you give us what we need, we're going to shut down the government. That is a totally different thing. If Chuck Schumer wants to come into the Oval Office or come to my house, he is welcome to talk about how to fix health care policy for Americans. Of course, we want to lower insurance premiums. We want to make sure that the skyrocketing health care costs of the Biden administrations start to level off and hopefully come down. That's one conversation. But you don't come into the Oval Office and say, unless you, the President of the United States, give us everything that I want, I'm going to shut down the government.
I mean, it sounds like hostage taking to me. It sounds like the same type of thing that Senator Chris Murphy from the past in 2018 was hostage taking, and I don't understand what the differentiation is. So I think that J.D. Vance is right to call it. J.D. Vance did a great job this weekend, by the way. But what you're hearing is that the Schumer shutdown is not going to end until at least after next weekend, because guess what? There's a protest scheduled, a No Kings March scheduled for October the 18th. That's going to be when the protest happens, and Chuck Schumer needs to be standing strong so he can be there. He can declare victory, and then maybe they'll reopen the government sometime after that, because if they cave to Trump before that, he's going to take heat from the left. And the polls are showing that the radicals on the left are happy that he's standing up to Trump. That's what he is. But Schumer is the most inconsistent. He doesn't know what he wants. He can't figure out how to govern. That's why this guy can't be ever made majority leader again. Here's Speaker Johnson, cut 31.
Chuck Schumer is incapable of telling the truth right now. I mean, he's been in Congress for 44 years, Shannon. I mean, almost half a century. He knows this is basic civics. Every eighth grade civics student can point out the fallacy in what he just said. It requires 60 votes in the Senate to get this through. We only have 53 Republicans. We've got to have a handful of Democrats in the Senate who apply common sense and agree to reopen the government so that we can continue all these discussions. As you pointed out to Hakeem Jeffries, this is a clean continuing resolution. What that means for folks back home is it's exactly the same levels of spending. By the way, it's Biden-era policies and spending, which we loathe. But we're trying to get through the appropriations process to change that and fix it for the country, and they ran out of time because the end of the fiscal year, September 30th, we just need 7 more weeks to finish it. And right now they're eating up the clock. They're doing this for political cover. Chuck Schumer, when he voted for the exact same measure back in March, took a lot of heat from the left of his party, and he doesn't want to sustain that any longer. So he's doing this and inflicting pain for his own selfish reasons.
Totally. Listen to how calm, cool, and collected he is, Johnson. He says, this is how it is. This is what we're trying to do. No big deal here. Chuck Schumer, you're in the ropes. You're doing it for your own political gain. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And by the way, you know, until we start hearing about the horror stories of how Republicans are killing people, I mean, that's what they're wanting to have happen. Chuck Schumer wants that before he agrees to let it. He wants to know that he's scored political points and done political damage. And J.D. Vance, I think, when he was on with Margaret Brennan, he did a good job. But he also has gone on all of the Sunday shows this weekend, and he shows what an asset he is at explaining. So much so that for another time, and it's happened before, George Stephanopoulos, he calls him out. And he's very good at confronting George, or as Trump would call it, George Slopadopoulos. He confronts him to the point that George Stephanopoulos actually cuts him off and drops him when he's still mid-sentence. Listen to how J.D. Vance stands up to George Stephanopoulos, cut 28.
I don't know what tape you're referring to, George. I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that. And here's, George, why fewer and fewer people watch your program and why you're losing credibility. Because you're talking for now 5 minutes with the Vice President of the United States about this story regarding Tom Homan, a story that I've read about, but I don't even know the video that you're talking about. Meanwhile, low-income women can't get food because the Democrats and Chuck Schumer have shut down the government. Right now, we're trying to figure out how to pay our troops because Chuck Schumer has shut down the government. You are focused on a bogus story. You're insinuating criminal wrongdoing against a guy who has done nothing wrong instead of focusing on the fact that our country is struggling because our government's shut down. Let's talk about the real issues, George. I think the American people would benefit much more from that than from you going down some weird left-wing rabbit hole where the facts clearly show that Tom Homan didn't engage in any criminal wrongdoing.
It's not a weird left-wing rabbit hole. I didn't insinuate anything. I asked you whether Tom Homan accepted $50,000, as was heard on an audio tape recorded by the FBI in September 2024, and you did not answer the question. Thank you for your time this morning.
No, well, George, I said that I don't.
Up next, we'll be right back.
He can't wait to get him off. He can't wait to get him off. And notice what J.D. Vance is doing is saying, look, we're here on a specific topic. When Democrats come on, you don't ambush them with some other question unrelated that you're trying to embarrass and shame them and do the Democrats' dirty work, which we'll remember that George Stephanopoulos was a staffer to Bill Clinton on his campaign, that he's very underhanded when it comes to political tactics, and that he got his job in the media after being the press secretary, just like Jen Psaki or KJP. He's the earlier precursor to that. And so he has to do that operative work in order to keep his bread buttered. And so he's got to go after, instead of talking about the success in the Middle East or anything that Trump is doing, he's got to go and hit not on the Middle East, but on can we embarrass Tom Homan? Can we accuse him of an unsubstantiated bribe? That's what he's got to do. And so good for J.D. Vance. Not surprised that George couldn't take the heat, had to drop him from the show. All right, medical freedom matters, and you should be able to choose the treatments that are right for you and your family. No mandates, no pressure, no red tape. All Family Pharmacy has everything you need, from essential medications to advanced biohacking support, all delivered fast with a doctor's prescription included. Your health decisions should be between you and your doctor, not dictated by government agencies, big pharma, or insurance companies. The best time to prepare your medicine cabinet is before the flu hits your home. Being proactive beats being reactive every time. Essential medications every home should stock up before flu season, like antivirals, ease symptoms and speed recovery, or flu kits and sinus infection kits. Complete packages with everything you need to treat symptoms quickly. Vitamins and minerals, you have vitamin C, D, K, magnesium for immune support. And biohacking, beyond the basics. All Family Pharmacy carries biohacking products to keep your energy, focus, immunity, and weight loss goals on track so you stay ahead of the game. NAD Plus supports energy at the cellular level, boosts recovery, and helps slow aging. Methylene Blue enhances focus, sharpens memory, supports brain health. Or glutathione, the body's master antioxidant, boosting your immune defenses. Stock up now at allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie. Don't wait until flu season knocks at your door. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie. Use code Howie10 for 10% off. All Family Pharmacy makes it simple, fast, and reliable to get the medications that your family needs. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, in for Howie, 844-500-4242. I mean, what a day for President Trump. I can't imagine it. This guy is tireless, too. I watched overnight on CNN as, you know, Caitlin Collins was there all night. Wolf Blitzer was there as well. And Wolf is getting up there in age. I think he's, let's see, age 77. So a little bit younger than Trump, but you could tell staying up all night the way that Trump is doing really took a toll on Wolf. And Trump is flying overnight. He's flying into Israel. He's flying from Israel to Egypt. I mean, the things that Trump is able to do are just remarkable, tireless, and just people trying to keep up with what he's doing. You can tell that it's a breakneck pace and really, really remarkable. And what an incredible day. Do we know, Matt, have you heard when Trump's coming home?
I haven't. I can look into that right now.
Yeah, find out. I want to know like what he's doing, because there was some speculation. I guess there was an overheard conversation with the president of Indonesia that Trump might be going to Indonesia. But I think Trump is, you know, he's spending the time in Egypt dealing with every single nation that was there, each of them taking time, wanting to get their photo with Trump at the peace summit, with the signage of the peace summit. It's really remarkable what he's been able to do. And he's doing it in record time. And this is the thing that on the campaign trail always amazed me about Trump, whether he was in New York, whether he was at the White House. He would leave in the morning on his plane. He'd go, he'd do his work, and he sleeps in his own bed most nights. He goes and he comes home. He goes and he comes home. He'll fly to the West Coast and he'll come home. He'll fly out of the country. He'll come home. He comes home, and it's pretty remarkable.
So, it looks like he's supposed to arrive back at the White House at 12:05 a.m.
Tonight. When did he leave? He left last night?
I think he left a little bit earlier today. I thought I saw something that after the meeting ended, he ended up flying out.
Yeah, you know, but he left. He only went to Israel. Like, he landed this morning at like 2 a.m. So he like left last night, D.C. time, and he's going to be home tonight. Like, the guy, like, this is unheard of that he would take like a 30-hour trip and, you know, have a whole Middle East peace summit and just come right home. He's commuting to the Middle East and getting it done. I don't think you've ever seen a president be as effective in as short a period of time as Donald Trump. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. It's as remarkable as the summit he held with Putin in Alaska that got set up in record time because, you know, he met with Putin. He met with Zelensky. He set things up and he tried to get it in motion. And notice Putin saw that Trump was getting things done. He tried to slow roll it. He tried to distract. And I think that's what's going on there. And I think that's what's behind the fact that, watch now, the United States is starting to provide more and more lethal support, Tomahawk missiles, to Ukraine. And it's because Putin isn't taking Trump seriously. And I think there are going to be consequences for that. 844-500-4242. Next on the phone line, we've got Ernest. Ernest, you're on the Howie Carr Show with Aaron Chadbourne. Go ahead.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, I'm very disappointed in the way the Democrats are celebrating or not celebrating this peace deal with Israel. I mean, they to me, they seem to be the party of destruction, because they're only happy if there's death and demise. We got good news for once with Israel, with the market, and there's peace, and yet they will not admire, second to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, by her admonishing his success, I give her kudos for that. But everybody else, they got major TDS syndrome. It's unbelievable that they just can't get along and focus on the job at hand.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Ernest. I think a lot of people want to see, you know what, when someone does something, you acknowledge it. I think that's the big thing. And he did something that nobody thought was possible. The fact that he got all the remaining hostages home, their home alive, I think is really, really incredible. So I really think they're going to do it. There is a clip I saw earlier on Twitter, on X, Donald Trump Jr. sharing a clip of Alyssa Farah from The View last January. She has a clip where she says, if Donald Trump gets the Israeli hostages out, all of them out and alive, she promises she'll wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show. So I think that's really important to do. 603 says the president is flying home tonight because he has plans to award Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom at the White House tomorrow. That was previously scheduled. And so he's going to be home in time for that. Yeah, but he just does that. That's what he does. He'll fly out and he'll fly home. Flies out, flies home. That's how he does. He doesn't mess around. He's not there for glad handing. He's not there for socializing. He's not there for his own ego or for anything. He's not on these, you know, meaningless, feel good, like little junkets that you see politicians do all the time, presidents do all the time. He's not walking through a rainforest like President Biden because he has nothing better to do. He's getting business for the American people and the world. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne.